Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Coach Lee. You rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Again, you are rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, yes, y'all. It's Monday, y'all, and I'm here giving it to you straight, y'all. Hey, this is what we do every Monday night. You rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and I'm your host with the most, and I'm putting it down. This is a pre-record, so you can't call in. I would love for you guys to call in because it was a great weekend of football this past weekend. I'll talk about a little bit in quarter number one and give you a little bit of championship breakdown, conference championship breakdown. We also got championships for IWFL and WFA championship breakdown, quarter number two. Quarter number three, I talk about the women's football camp and conference purpose and reason what's behind it and the emails that I got regarding that and, you know, my thoughts on women's football, and then I'm out of here, you know what I'm saying? Long weekend and all that other good stuff, but in all, it was good. It was definitely a good weekend. But anyway, let's go ahead and get this thing started like we always do. Let's give a little acknowledgement to our sponsors that's bringing you this show. We got Enterprise, Rental Car, Wi-Fi, Enterprise, because they'll pick you up. And Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas, we all should be rocking Adidas. And Rogers Athletic Company. Rogers is the official football equipment company of the Women's Football Camping Conference to be held on January 6th through the 9th. It's where the good get better. And, hey, let's do what we do because we do what we do. Let's kick this bad boy off. And it's a deep, deep, deep kick. Why is it deep? Because, hey, that's what we talk about. When you talk about women's football, you talk about deepness. You're talking about what's going on, what's taking place, and all that great stuff. So, anyway, you know, this weekend, quarter number one, a review of the Showgirls football game against the Lone Star Mustangs. It was a great game, and if I was a fan, I would definitely would have enjoyed the game. It wasn't a high-scoring game because you got the number one and number two defenses, scoring defenses, playing against each other, and you don't expect to score no 45 points. The Outlaws came in averaging 45. Not the Outlaws. Look at that one week. Last week, the Mustangs came in scoring 45 points a game, and the Showgirls averaging 33.5 points a game. So everybody thought it was going to be a high-scoring affair. Of course, with the Mustangs pulling off the blowout victory from what I was hearing and what I was reading. But you know what? I never believe what I read, and I never believe what I hear. Like I see with my own eyes, and especially if I have something to do with it, it definitely ain't going to end up the way that other people think it's going to be. But, it was a great game. The score wind up being Mustangs 8, Showgirls 6. I was about to put together a highlight tape this afternoon, but realized that a highlight tape wouldn't do the game any justice of what took place through the game. So what I'm going to wind up doing is editing down 10-minute segments of the game. I think the game was like 32 minutes or 33 minutes on video. So I'm going to edit it down 10 minutes per and add it onto YouTube. And then from that, you know, throw it up on the Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com board so that you can see the game in full. I just think it was that worthy of a game. And like I said, there wasn't many exciting offensive plays because, again, defense did their thing. This was a defensive battle. And like I said, if you listen to the tape to my show from last week, I told everybody, I said that it was going to be a low-scoring game. And then it was going to come down to a field goal. And guess what? Low-scoring game, and it came down to a field goal with special teams. The only thing that was different was I had the results, Showgirls winning. I think I had it 17-16 or 17-14. It was something like that. I thought it was going to come down to a field goal, and it actually did. I'm not a fortune teller, but I am a good film analysis evaluator. And understanding what I can do to combat the other team and understanding what they would have to do to combat us. And we both hit it on the nose. But for those who thought it was going to be a blowout, sorry, ain't happening. Not on my watch, baby. Not on my watch. Too good of a coach to allow that to happen. Never, ever will get blown out or go scoreless. But the fact is, you know, it was a good game. We had a great crowd there. It was a nice home-based crowd. I think paid attendance was 438 or something like that was the actual paid amount. I'm not sure how many freebies got in, but, you know, it didn't matter. The fact is the fans had a great time, had a great game. And, you know, going into the game, we knew we had to stop Odessa Jenkins. And we didn't stop her, but we did hold her down to big plays. With the exception of her touchdown run, I think it was like a 45 to 48-yard touchdown over the right offensive end where she actually broke three tackles, individual tackles, and then took off running for the touchdown. Our score came on a pass. That was early in the second quarter. Again, it was scoreless all the way to late in the second quarter. Then we also had another turn. We had our first turnover right before the first half down on our end of the field and held the Mustangs to not scoring again. They were definitely in field goal range, but I don't think they have a kicker to kick field goals, and that's why they go for two all the time. And I'll go about that anyway. Then we came, and we got in the red zone on three occasions and came out two times empty. One time we got out of field goal range. The second time we got in field goal range, and we just missed it just right. And then the third time, we actually scored to make the game 8-6. And that's basically how it went. I mean, if I was to explain it to you, you know, but some of my questions that I got email-wise would be able to explain, you know, why the score ended up 8-6. If you let, you know, one, I got to throw a big shout-out to Coach Bartley. Coach Bartley did a hell of a job announcing the game. And from what I hear, there were like over 200 people listening in. On Blog Talk Radio, WFB continues. I got that from BJ. So, you know, hey, that's good. If we can get that, I mean, it should have been 1,000. It should have been 2,000. Everybody should have tuned in. If you're a women's football fan, you should have tuned in. If you got the opportunity to listen. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's part of women's football. Got to be supportive. But having 200 people on the chat board in the room, I'm pretty sure it was pretty exciting. My man Remy was probably in there talking smack about the Mustangs, but he really felt that they were going to blow us out, and there was no chance in the world that the Showgirls were going to be able to hang, especially because apparently we didn't beat Austin big enough like they had in the past. But again, I explained to everybody, you know, when you have competition that you play once, twice, at least twice a year, and sometimes three times a year, I got excuse to win. I'm outside here in my, it's, I feel like it's a hair dryer, but I've had to come outside. I'm doing this on my lunch break. I did it earlier this morning, believe it or not, but I forgot to hit the submit button on the Cinch network. So I'm up here doing it again for lunch break. And my show probably was a little bit hyper earlier because I was up early this morning. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I am who I am. I am who I be. I'm Coach Lee. You rocking four quarters with me. But anyway, like I said, I was giving a hell of a job to Coach Barley for announcing our game. He was my alternative announcer for the game. I had some other guys who happened to just got the job on Thursday to be the official voice of the Las Vegas locals, and they had a big press conference on Saturday, and they weren't quite sure if they were going to be able to make it in time for the game to announce the game. So Coach Bartley stepped in and did his damn thing, and it was great. You know, everybody asked me, was I sad or upset about the game? I'm like, no, you can't be, not when you play a good game. And it goes down the way you got it. Am I upset that we didn't win? Yes. But I'm not depressed where I'm moping over and groping. You know, hey, you know, to be 6 inches away from tying the game and just right from winning the game, I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? That's why we play football. You know, football is a game of life. And with that being it, you know, sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it don't. And if it don't, you just can't get down on yourself. And I can't get down on my girls. My girls played one hell of a game. The Mustangs came in and played one hell of a game, and it was a battle. It definitely was a battle. But just to explain a little bit more in detail, because I got a couple emails on why the score ended up being 8-6 when it went down. Did they get a safety or whatever? Well, no, the Mustangs are known to score touchdowns and go for two every time. And our theory going into the game, or our plan going into the game was, if we scored first, of course, we were going to go for one, as usual, because that's automatic for us. You know, we would have been up 7-0. And if the Mustangs scored first and got the two-point conversion, then we were going to go for two on our first attempt as well. Depending on if it was early in the game, we would go for one. If it was in the second half, we were going to go for two. And we didn't score until the beginning of the fourth quarter. We actually scored on a 25-yard pass to our wide receiver, and Flash, as we call her. And we didn't hesitate at all. We went with our heavy right quarterback dive, basically. We just overload the right side, and our tailback goes to the QB spot. And find a hole. And she got stopped right at the goal line, and her momentum was just stopped as they were blowing a whistle as she was going down and didn't make it into the end zone. So she was 6 inches short, but we felt that it was 11 minutes ago in the fourth quarter that if we even kicked one, we still have to score again, you know, a field goal. So it didn't hurt to try to tie the game. We had an earlier attempt at a 32-yard field goal, and our kicker is first team All-American kicker for the American Conference, and she's pretty much automatic. And we will kick the ball anywhere between 45 yards and in. It's an automatic kick for us. She has the leg to do it. She has the accuracy to do it. And she just shanked one to the right early in the third quarter when we were in the red zone. And, you know, we're going to come back to her. I kept telling her, don't worry about it. We're coming back to you. We're going to get in position and get you in a position to win the game, which we were trying to do. So we stopped the Mustangs on the ensuing drive, and we got the ball on our 20-yard, like inside the 20. And I think we got two first downs. And, you know, like I said, we weren't trying to rush. It was 5 minutes and something left on the clock. We were just trying to get down in field goal range. But, you know, a big ooh-ooh happened at at the two-minute mark. For those who listen to the comments cast of the game, heard Coach Bartley going off, and there was a bunch of flags thrown. What had happened was the play before the two-minute warning, our running back, Shamika Finch, was running off tackle when she bounced outside. And one of the Mustangs, not quite sure what number, went and hit her. And, of course, I didn't see the play. I saw her get tackled, but I wasn't in the angle to see what took place. But apparently, when she got hit, she fumbled the ball. The ball just fell out of her hand. It didn't bounce. It didn't do anything. It just fell. And apparently one of the Mustangs saw it and jumped on it, but the whistle was being blown as he jumped on it. And again, I didn't see it originally, and I just saw the flags. So it was third down and eight, and so it was two-minute warning. And I was thinking, okay, we got an automatic first down because of unsportsmanlike conduct, whatever was going on the sideline. But Coach Mike was doing, he was yelling as a coach would do, but no cursing, no foul language or anything like that. But he was upset and in a rage, and his coaches was pulling him back, and that's why you got the crowd going, ooh, 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 and then the flags came out. So what wound up happening was it was actually a warning. They never had a sideline warning, but what the refs explained to me was they threw the flag to calm him down, knowing that if they had to throw any more flags, that they would have to kick him out of the game, and they didn't want to do that with only 2 minutes left in the game, score 8-6. So it came off as a warning, but in the meantime, when it was 3rd and 8, I was setting up a play to run middle screen that we ran earlier. I just really felt that they were going to finally blitz us because they didn't get any pressure on us all game long as far as sacking the quarterback. And when I saw the flags, I automatically changed the play thinking that, okay, you know, it's automatic first down. Let's go deep on them because they're not going to blitz. Well, as he explained to me, the ref explained and everything, we were already at the line of scrimmage ready to go because I wanted to play on the line. And it was too late for me to we had no more timeouts. So I couldn't. I just told them to run the play, and they ran the blitz, and my quarterback threw the ball before the receiver broke, and DB saw the ball in the air and caught the ball, and that's how it ended. Also, in the radio broadcast, Coach Barty had talked about me using the timeouts, that they were going to hurt us in the long run, which they actually did. But my explanation, because, again, I got an email asking why they would use certain timeouts at certain points of the game. They felt that they were unnecessary. But they weren't there, so they don't understand. And the first timeout was used, I want to say it was used, it was a critical third down, and we wanted to make sure we had the right call. The second timeout, which, you know, I really, really pissed off that I had to use it, but it was after we kicked the field goal and missed it. One of our D linemen who were making many tackles in the game apparently was tired and didn't go back in. And then Coach didn't know. So as they were coming out the huddle, defense is yelling at me, hey, we're short a player. And I looked on the sideline, I told her to get in, and she kind of looked at me like, yeah, I'm tired. And I'm like, so what? Let's go. We got to play. And, you know, of course, you know, this is where women came to be women, gave me attitude, and just actually walked onto the field and actually started walking slower as I was telling her to hurry up. And so I had to call a timeout because it was a crucial point in the game where we needed all 11 out on the field. And, you know, I got upset and told her to sit her butt on the bench, and she's not getting back into the game. And that was like late third quarter, you know, so that was a wasted timeout. And like I said, I'm the coach. It's going to be done my way or the highway. I don't care if you're a superstar, the best player, an average player, or a solid player. It doesn't matter. If you're not going to hustle, you're not playing for me. And that's the attitude that I took at that point in time, wasted the timeout and sat on the bench. Okay, the third timeout, because they're asking the question on the email, you know, why did we use the three timeouts the way we did? The third timeout was before we scored our touchdown. I know it was early in the fourth quarter, but we were like on the 50-yard line, and we had to take advantage of the field position, and we went for a fake punt. But what wound up happening, again, I had a player who was hurt, and I had a substitute that went in, and she didn't know what the call was and didn't line up correctly. So I called a timeout because I knew we had to get this first down. And so I called the timeout to explain to her what she was supposed to do. So that's how the three timeouts went down. That was actually my last timeout on that particular drive. And, yes, it did nip me in the butt. Normally, in the first half, I would use timeouts in that fashion, but in the second half, I usually hold on to them, but it was such an important game that every play counted, as you can see. With the score being 8-6 final, you can imagine that every play counted, and so I'm not going to take my timeouts home with me, so I made sure I used all my timeouts. And plus, we played more of a running style game because that's what they were giving us. They were playing a college 4-3, cover 2, and we just ran at them. I don't know how many yards we had because I haven't done stats yet, but it was definitely a physical game, and we wanted to let everybody know that we are a physical team if needed, and that's why the score was 8-6. So that was a question about the emails, about my using up the timeouts, the question about what was going on at the two-minute mark. And like I said, it was a hard-fought game. you know, my only thing that I get upset about, to be honest, is about when folks talk about which teams are good and which teams are just average. And, you know, there's some teams that are undefeated that are just average. And, you know, my thing is this, you play who you play. You have no control over what the other team does, you know. Be it that they're good or bad or ugly or whatever, it doesn't matter. My thing is we play who we play. And I know how good we are. But other people don't recognize that. And that's why I go to the Ning board and put up highlight film so you can see that, you know, we are complicated at what we do. We do pass the ball. We do run the ball. We have athletes. And what I hate is that you have a lot of people out there, sorry about the win, y'all, but that's just how it is in Vegas. I just get sick and tired of people out there who say that their team is good, but they don't put no highlights up to prove anything. They don't show anything. You know, ain't nothing top secret about football. The team that you playing got film on you anyway, so it doesn't matter. My thing is, if we're going to promote football, then everybody should be putting up a highlight tape every week about the games that they play, you know. There ain't no such thing as too much highlights. But I put them out there because, again, I want you to see that we are good. You know, football is dictated on the field, and it's not dictated on the chat boards and all that other stuff. Head-to-head competition. So when people feel that we're going to get blown out by 20 or more just because we didn't beat a common opponent by the same amount, you know, again, as a coach, you got to understand, every game you have a different game plan. Every team has strengths and they have weaknesses. So you got to understand, you coach up your team based on the other team's weaknesses. And, you know, often we haven't traveled that far. You know, you got to take that in consideration, travel. You got to consider the weather, playing in a different environment, a different atmosphere, hemisphere, and all that other good stuff that goes along with the football. You know, so you got to take that in accountability. And like I said, nobody's just going to come in our house and just beat us by 20 points. That ain't happening. Never happened, never will happen, with the exception of our very first game against the SoCal Scorpions and, of course, against the Dallas Diamonds, one of the premier teams in women's football. But I can say this, we gave them a run for their money in every game. You know, there was no game that we were ever just totally out of. So, you know, again, it's all in coaching, you guys. And I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm just going to be who I am. A good coach that's going to make sure that he gives his team an opportunity to be the best they can be and win games when they can win games. And like I said, on my show on Monday, I said it was going to come down to special teams and it's going to be a close affair, and it was. So, again, as a coaching and evaluating what I said, I hit it on point. The only thing I didn't get was the actual victory itself, but that's all good. Hold on one second. I'm over here at the Air Force Base. So you might hear the jets taking off right now here at Nellis Air Force Base. So what else? About the game, again, I'll be putting it up later on this evening. You'll see the full-fledged highlights up. Yeah, I'm not highlights, but the full-fledged game up. So you can take it for what you take it, and you evaluate it. You know what I'm saying? There was no... The Mustangs didn't get lucky and won the game. It was no... upset. It was no they had an off game or we had an off game. It was a well played game. And, you know, just to top it off, you know, and it's another subject that I wanted to talk about today, which is the camping conference, but to just to touch on it real quick, you know, right after the game, both coaches ran to each other. Just like in the playoff game last week, we all run to each other to find out what was your game plan and how did you do this and do that. And I know that the Mustangs offensive coordinator came running over to our side, and again, no disrespect intent in the comment, but asking who the hell was the defensive coordinator. I need to talk to them real quick now. You know, the bottom line was there were some things that we did defensively that, you know, he just straight up told me, he said, hey, I had to check my draws because I couldn't do anything. You were there everywhere, you know what I'm saying? And I told him that's it. You know, I told him the basic game plan that we had and how predictable he was, you know, to help him in the next level. All right, I don't think I'm connected. I think I'm still connected. Sorry about that. I'm doing this over the phone, so I just had a boop, boop, boop. subject, and I hope I'm still talking, but I'll check it out once I get in on the computer, but I just couldn't do it inside my office. So again, those are the things that we do as coaches. We wonder how you stopped this, or how did you do that, or what were some of your keys? Because part of being a good coach and coaching staff is, okay, evaluating your film, and then evaluating your opponent's film, and figuring out what they're going to do to adjust to what you do. And that's one thing that I know that me and my staff can do. We definitely can project what you should and what you are going to do to make it feasible for our players to understand that, hey, these are the things they got to do. We got to watch out for this, and this is why the players are going to be because. And like I tell my players all the time, I say, you're not going to lose the game because you're not prepared. You're going to lose the game because the other team is better. And like I said, were the Mustangs better? Yes, they were 2 points better than the Showgirls, 6 inches better than the Showgirls, and one wide right better than the Showgirls. Again, I'm a classy guy. No excuses at all. We win. We lose. We lose. And that's how football is. So you're not going to ever see me making excuses of why I lost or why I won. It shouldn't be an excuse. The better team won. That's just how it goes. If you have more turnovers, then you shouldn't win. You know, that's just how football is. But, yeah, like I said, it's, you know, I'm not going to call it a respect thing, but folks on the East Coast really feel that their ball is just a hell of a lot better than the ball on the West Coast. You know, and that goes from college to pros to whatever. It's just that we have the weather to be able to do the things that we do, that we can play more of a passing attack game. We don't have to be a power team. Just because you're a power team don't mean that you're good. You know, again, ask Austin, ask Dallas. I mean, that's all I can say because those are the teams, I mean, Lone Star, because those are the two teams that I play that run a power, and they weren't as effective as they thought they were going to be compared to the competition that they played against. Again, I know my weakness on my defense. I know my weakness on offense. So it's just a matter of exploiting it and understanding what it is and doing what you do. So as you guys are coaches out there and players, you have to come to an understanding that you got to do your homework. You got to do your homework. To break down film. And those are some of the things that we're going to talk about at the Women's Football Camp and Conference. Again, that's a whole other topic, whole other cover, quarter on here. But we're going to get it rocking and rolling. We're going to get it rocking and rolling. So let's go ahead and move on. Quarter number two. Championship, baby. Man, do I miss the fact that I am not going to be in the championship. Oh, it's burning. It's burning. It's burning. You know, so, you know, hey, it is what it is. 2011, we come back strong. No big deal. But, yeah, it burns. And like I said, big ups to all those who made the championship in the IWFL. You got the Montreal Blitz taking on the Bay Area Bandits in Tier 2. You got the Sacramento Sirens taking on the Boston Militia. The Militia in the Tier 1. You got in the WFA, you got the Lone Star Mustangs taking on the Columbus Comets. And like I said, I'll come back to my analysis next week for the WFA. So I got to do some research. I haven't seen any of the Comets films. I haven't seen anything. So I can't give you a true analysis of who's going to win that game until I get some film. And that's why I was harping earlier in quarter number one. It is such a shame that teams that are out there, be it good or bad, don't put highlights up, you guys. That is just sickening, let alone stats. You know, I can go off of stats and predict what teams pretty much do, but to see the caliber of ball, you got to put the videos up. So, again, I'll be doing my research, and I'll give you guys the WFA analysis of who's going to win that game on next Monday. But, again, my predictions for the IWFL are pretty much none to nothing because I haven't seen film. The only two teams that I know about personally will be the Sacramento Sirens due to the fact that I played them and seen them play and I got film on them, and the Bay Area Bandits based on who they beat here on the West Coast, being the SoCal Scorpions and the LA Amazons. I mean, that's all I can go on based on what I know with those two teams and my interaction with those two teams and the coaching staff. So, again, you know, what I'm saying today is what I'm saying only because this is all I know, you know. So in the tier two championship game, I got the Bay Area Bandits due to the fact that they beat, you know, the two tier two teams that I know of and what they had to do to beat them, you know. And some of it is luck, and that's just part of football. Football is luck. I'd rather be lucky than good. Trust me. You will win more games being lucky than just being good. Okay? And then in the Tier 1, I got Sacramento. The reason I got Sacramento is because if they can control the ball and score, they'll beat anybody. They run Delaware wing T, lots of faking, lots of dipping here and there, catch you by surprise on the pass. And then after that, you know, it's all about ball control. So you start looking at that clock as it's ticking down, because I lost to them 2 years ago. In Vegas. Matter of fact, they were the last team that we lost to at home prior to this last weekend's game. So we went on a long streak, 2.5 years of winning at home without losing. And like I said, the Sirens are a power team. They control the clock. They have a great defense. And like I said, all they're looking for is to stop you one time. And they're going to run the clock. They're going to have the ball for 9-10 minutes in one quarter, guarantee it, because they're happy to get 3 to 4 yards of play. They're not looking for the big 60-yard, 40-yard run. They're looking for 4 yards, and they're happy, you guys. So I'm going to have to go with the ball control team and go with the Sirens on that. And, you know, that's all I can face right now for the championship. Due to the fact of lack of information that's out there, which is ill, which is sickening, because, again, if we're going to promote women's football, you guys, we all got to get out there and promote. We just can't have one or two teams represent women's football all over the place. Everybody got to promote, okay? Let's see, what else I got? I know that championship games are in Round Rock, Texas, on Saturday. I had their agenda earlier, but if I'm not mistaken, the Tier 2 game is at 10 a.m., the Tier 1 game is at 7 p.m., and then the All-Star game is at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Like I said, I wish everybody love. And my thing is this. If you ain't playing in the game, you need to be at the game. It don't matter what league you in. If you can drive there, bus there, fly there, train there, do what you got to do, you all need to be there, you guys. That's just the bottom line. You know, like I said, you got to be supportive of what's going on. You got to be supportive of what's going down. And sometimes, you know, I think we get all caught up in the fact that, you know, it's a league thing. And it's not. It's a women's football thing. We're all in the business to promote the same thing, and that's women's football. So get out there to the championship games in Austin, Texas. Get out to the championship games in Las Vegas, Nevada, on the 30th and 31st and All-Star weekend. You know, like I said, I'm here to promote women's football. Women's football is where it's at. You know, where you play, I don't care. But where it's at is women's football, okay? And so you guys got to recognize that. That is my role, has always been my role, here on the Ning board and here on the radio show. I talk to everybody because I don't care. It's the product. We are all in the same game, all right? Anyway, I am done with quarter number two just because I just ain't got enough information. You know, get more information out, and more folks like myself will be able to talk about it. Quarter number three, real quick, quarter number three. Women's Football Camp and Conference. Yes, yes, y'all. I got questions about that, y'all, because people have been asking me. Email me again. You can always email me at LasVegasShowgirls@yahoo.com, WomensFootballCamp@yahoo.com. You can hit me at the Ning board. At womenstacklefootballgroup.ning.com. And like I said, I answer questions and I use them as show topics. So I had a couple questions about the Women's Football Camp and Conference. Is this space available? Yes, there is. We have over 125 registered campers this year already. You can go to womensfootballcamp.com There's a icon there to a link, and you can hold your spot for $25, you know, and then pay the remaining balance by October 1st or something like that. But yes, it's open to all comers, newcomers, rookies, veterans. It don't matter what league affiliation you have. If you want to get better, then you're going to come. We're putting together the agenda as we speak. We have coaches that are confirming right now, and we took some advice from last year's players and attendees, and we're modifying it a little bit more. We're going to do more interaction on the field as far as the players are concerned. And, you know, some of the issues that I was passing on was, it's not that we didn't want to do more on-the-field work. It's the fact that a lot of you guys out there are player, owner, staff members, and stuff, and coaches. So we had to break it down where everybody can be able to go and do everything. But now we're going to focus in. If you're there as a player, you're going to focus in on just player stuff to improve. Get 14 hours of in-the-classroom, on-the-field type of action. If you're a coach, you're going to get 12 to 14 hours of on-the-field coaching, film breakdown, all of that stuff. You know, some of the things, you know, working on offenses, we have offensive coordinators there talking about how they implement their offense, how they look upon what type of athlete they need at certain positions, why they do this and why they do that. Same thing on the defensive end. And then, again, we still have a strong lineup of guest speakers dealing with marketing, PR, branding, because, you know, we got to focus in on that. And I think if you're going to represent your team, you need to represent in one area or the other. It's trying to be all three, because you're going to be a jack of all trades and master of none. You know, I am proud to say that 90% of all the women who attended the women's football camp and conference has either played in a division championship, a championship, or have made all-stars in their respective leagues. You know, so again, it's where the good gets better. And even some members of the Team USA, like I said, there's no discrimination here, you guys. It's all about us getting better, putting a better product on the field. And I preach that each and every week here at Four Courts with Coach Lee. If the product's no good, you're not going to get the fans. If you can't get the fans, you won't get the sponsors. And without sponsors, you won't be able to travel. And without traveling, you won't be able to play. So you got to focus in on your product and on your skills, be it administrative skills, be it coaching skills, be it playing skills. So again, Women's Football Camp and Conference, January 6th through the 9th, 2011, on the campus of UNLV, a first-class venue, three major football fields, plus other grass areas and equipment room areas. We're just going to be doing our damn thing out there, you guys. So, again, if you're a rookie, never even played football before, it's open to all. Do you need equipment? Prefer it. Helmet, shoulder pads, and practice jersey. So we will be doing some hitting. We don't do no tackling down to the ground. We just do form tackling up top, getting the head and ear in position, across the chest, and all those other good things. So, again, that's the equipment you need. The weather-wise, it's normally dry. It do get a little chilly, but like in the upper 50s, lower 60s in January, which is probably better than maybe 90% of the rest of the United States during that month. That's why we host it here in Vegas. We have plans to do a camp at the end of January in another location, preferably on the East Coast. But again, it's the weather that's permitting us from getting facilities. Okay? So we are working on it. But you know what? Don't wait around. Sign up for the Vegas trip. Stop putting your cans up. Stop putting your pennies to the side. And like I said, it explains on the camp website, you know, what the cost will be and what it's going to run you. It's best if you can get 2 to 4 girls off your team to come, because now you can cut down the cost of, you know, hotel room. You know, instead of paying, say, $200 for the 4 days, you can be paying $50 for the 4 days. So that'll cut down your cost. So, again, be creative, be clever. Get out to the Women's Football Camp and Conference. Again, it's where the good gets better. And we definitely want you to be out there. And we want you to get down and like I said, improve your skills. All right?
I'm going to end this show because I got to get back to work. Got to get my things done. I got kids out here yelling and everything. So I'll catch up with you in a little bit. This is Coach Lee. I'm signing off, and I'm out. Peace.
Yeah, right. You think Coach Lee going to go out like that? Come on now. You know I can talk longer than an hour. You know what I'm saying? You know I can talk longer than an hour. So I'm back. I'm on live. I am on live. And if you want to jump on board, you can always call in at 347-826-7278. You want to comment on the game? You want to talk about the camp? You want to talk about a championship? You can do that right here, right now, because you're rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. And if you own, just say, hey, what's up, Coach? This is, and booyah, you are on. Make sure you press 1 and pound. Again, this is Coach Lee. I can't end the show like that. I am live. That is L-I-V-E, live on the set, live on the mic, and live doing what I do. And again, just to recap, basically what the show was all about was, again, I'm the type of coach that's going to give it to you like I give it to you. I'm going to give it to you real. Like I said, I don't make excuses for anything that we do and what goes on. And it was a great game. Oh, you want the number again, Remy? You know the number. It's 347-826-7278. There it is. Okay? I would love to have you on the phone because I really would like to hear you talk. You know, that would be some good talking between me and you because, you know, we hype up football, and you definitely do a hell of a job of promoting women's football on your end. And we've both been talking since day one who was going to be for the conference championship, the Mustangs and the Showgirls, and it went down that way. And like I said, we talked smack all year, and you won. I must say, you won. You know. Hey, also, you can't hear me. My bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess y'all had to cut up louder on the other system. But I'll talk into the phone. Is that better, Coach? Let me know now. All right. So anyway, like I said, just a recap of what was going on throughout the weekend. And like I said, I don't hide from nobody. I come back and let you know how it went down. And like I said, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And, you know, it was great. I think it's going to be some exciting football. And, again, I don't want nobody to stop, you know, once the season's over with. And my man Remy, go and drop him online. Remy, you there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, you know I can hear you, man. Don't be coming on here like I can't hear you.
I know. I had to call in tonight. You know what's going on. Walking through these doors, the mighty Mustang.
Hey, like I said, I bow down to none, and I just tip my hat off to some, and I will tip my hat off to the Mustangs.
Hey, Coach Lee, you're a professional, and you have much class and a great sport.
Ah, thank you so much. I mean, that's what it's all about. I lead by example. You know, I can't be the butthole running around here talking all this smack, and then all of a sudden we lose, and then all of a sudden I'm muffled up or coming up with excuses. I hate people like that, so I definitely wouldn't be one like that.
It was like so exciting to listen to the game that they broadcast with Coach Bartley. It was so great. And I tell you what, he's a big fan of you. I tell you that right now. He knows you in and out. You better watch out.
Well, you know what? He never beat me, so he can be a fan all he wants. He's never beat me.
Because
you know,
so. I swear, I think he had your mind because he knew what you're going to do, especially with that punt situation that you had. And he goes, I know what Coach Lee's going to do. I know what he's going to do. He's going to do a fake punt right here. Watch this. Watch this. And he started screaming, I told y'all he was going to do it. He knows you. He knows you, Coach Lee. Better watch out.
But, you know, you can know me, but you still got to beat me, though. And that's what me and Bartley talk about that all the time. We talk about that all the time. And you know what? He does know me. You know, I'm a gambler. I like excitement. I try to catch you sleeping and off guard. And like I said, I'm going to pull it all out because, you know, that's the excitement of football.
That's what I mean. When talking to Coach Mike a couple times, you know, after the game, he said there was a couple times where you surprised him. You got his go. I mean, you know, you got his defense really working. I tell you that right now. He said that. Wow, he brought up some stuff, Coach Lee. I commend you on that.
Well, you know what? I live and learn. You know, and I talked to Coach Mike afterwards while the girls were, you know, in the locker room showering. You know, like I said, as coaches, we want to talk to each other to try to peg, you know, how did you stop this or how did you know that or how did you game plan for me? And as I was talking to Coach Mike, he's like, wow, our job was to stop number five running the ball and catching, and you had her in the backfield throwing the ball. I think she was four for four in her passing game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I told her, I said, you know what, people don't realize that in one game she passed for 210 yards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's supposed to be my starting quarterback.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm just fortunate to have a returning veteran come back at quarterback who throws 1,500 yards a season, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and like I said, when I talked to Coach Q, when we lost to the Slam, he really put me on the spot and was just drilling me on what I did through the whole season, and he was prepared. So some of the things that we normally do, we didn't do. We pulled them out for when we had to in the playoff game.
Yep.
You know, some of the things that he saw, I mean, that he saw in that game, we haven't done, but in practice.
Yep.
You know. So, I mean, that's where you got to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But go ahead.
So, you know, looking back on this a little bit, was this one of your toughest tests? You know, this is your second year not making it all the way, but you're so close. And the next year, you could be even better year for your team because you can do the same thing. But, you know, being so close, you know, was this another test saying, man, I got to do something different next year, or you're going to keep going with the same game plan?
Oh, no, the game plan is 100%. It's the fact is that people don't realize that in women's football, you have a lot of people who don't come back. For instance, my core girls are my wide receivers and my running backs.
Okay.
For the last 5 years, my entire offensive line and defensive line have been all rookies.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? So we haven't had that gelling point where, especially offensive line, it's a lot easier to get rookies on D-line because you just teach them to go to the gap and go make a tackle. But the offensive line has to be like family. They have to be to the point where they know where they're stepping and when to help, when not to help. You know, like on that last play when they blitzed, you know, my offensive guard was crying for 20 hours after, talking about she should have, you know, blocked number, I think it was number 92 that came in up the middle on the blitz.
KB Bowman, yep.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, it's something that we just didn't have the fabric of saying, you know what, we know how to stop this if they blitz, you know, and having the confidence in the girl next to you to say, you know what, we would, you know, she'll get her. So she kind of came in there untapped, and so my guard is kind of upset, you know, still crying to this day that it's her fault. I'm like, no, sweetheart, it's not your fault. The bottom line is we need to work together. You know,
exactly.
even this season, our offensive line didn't have the same starting lineups though, two games in a row.
Okay.
So,
and that's where the difference was, because the Mustangs kept their line from last year. And I tell you, Coach, the Mustangs offense, this is what I told Coach Mike on my show on Sunday, is I got to give props to your O-line and your D-line. And they've pretty much been the same from last year to this year. And that's why they were melted. They became a family. They knew what you were just talking about. They knew where they needed to step, where they needed to go, even though there was a few mistakes, you know, because they had a couple offsides or a couple false starts. But they knew what they needed to do because they've been together. They're in the trenches together. They know what's going on. And I told Coach Mike, I commend the O-line. I go up there and talk to them. When I see them, I say, hey, guys, you guys are the team. You are the pit bull of the team right here. You got them together. And this is what makes the team is your line. You know what I mean? And am I right, Coach?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at all the champions, especially for women's football, the more experienced front line, offense and defense, have won all the championships.
Yep.
So if you even go to college football, they talk about the experience. They always talk about the line being experienced. That's the key to everything. Without a line, you can't run. Without a line, you can't pass. You can have the best athlete in the world. But if the other team's in your backfield all the time, it ain't going to happen.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think, so for me, you know, from as a coach's point of view, our weakest link is our upfront girls. We just have not had consistency of the same girls playing the position the 5 years that we've been around.
Okay.
You know.
I understand. I totally understand. And this is one of the things that, you know, like I said, I just, you know, I hope Coach Mike and that team does a great job in 2 weeks. And Coach, you know, your team right there, I mean, you guys are right there. You're at the cusp. And I hopefully next year that, you know, you go all the way and take it, you know.
Well, you know what? We are. I'm still speaking up it's for 2011, we taking championship. You heard it right here on Fourth Quarter mm-hmm. Coach League. We're going to be the champs. Because, again, if I don't believe in it, then who will?
Exactly.
And that's what I tell the girls. I say, you have to believe in everything that we're teaching and telling you guys, you know, that we want to, you know, this is what we're going to do. And then when they start buying into the system, then they're like, cool, you know, and then everything comes into fruition. You know, when I say we're going to get interception on this drive, you know, if they believe in me, then it happens. Then they're like, wow, are you walking on water, coach?
I told and I got to say one thing last night, because I tell you, Coach, I'm really close with all of our Mustangs. And last night I was in the chat room, and when Yellow Shoes got that touchdown, I told everybody in that chat room, hey, guys, I got this feeling that they're going to do it. I mean, right now they're going to make a touchdown. And what do you know? Yellow Shoes ran in for a touchdown, because I feel that team. I know how they play. I know what they're going to do. And everybody in chat was like, oh, my God, you guessed that right. I said, I didn't guess that right. I just know that I have a feeling that they're going to do it. And they did it. You know what I mean, Coach? And and hopefully other people will get that idea, because they need to become fans of women's pack football, because it's totally awesome. You know what I mean, Coach?
Oh, yeah, definitely that. And to Yellow Shoes, like I said, we knew that she was going to get hers, but we were going to limit what she got. And like I said, she made one hell of a play to score that touchdown. It wasn't like she had perfect blocking and she went untouched. She actually broke three tackles on that play.
Yeah.
And like I said, I give her all the dap and credit in the world, because
mm-hmm.
she's a workhorse, definitely that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and like I said, outside of that play, that's why it's going to be hard to put together a highlight film for you, because that was probably the most exciting play of
mm-hmm.
the rest of the game. Everything else was, you know, 4 or 5 yards here and there. Wasn't nothing spectacular. That's why I'm going to put the whole game on, you know, on the meme boards, that people can see it and understand that it was a defensive battle. It wasn't a lot of mistakes. It was a lot of hitting, a lot
mm-hmm.
of shutting down, and a lot of, what I want to call it, like chess game playing, you know, checkers type of strategies,
mm-hmm.
you know. Definitely strategies. Strategies.
Exactly.
You know?
And you got to look at it also is that, you know, you both sides made your teams work so hard to get into the end zone. Whatever they did, you had to work hard for it. You can't say, oh, they just did it because of something happened or something. They worked hard for it, right, Coach?
Yeah, definitely that. You know, and as I'm speaking to you, I'm even thinking as a coach, I said, wow, you know what? When we threw that interception, we were still one possession down. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
We should have did with the who was that played Denver Broncos and let them score? We should have just let them score on that first play. And stop you guys on 2-point conversion, it would have been 14-6, and then we still would have had a minute and 30 seconds to go down the field, you know, to score. You know, in hindsight, I'm like, wow, we should have did that with no timeouts. You know, but you know what? That's just being out-coached at that point in time. You know, when you look back at it, like, wow, little things that we could have done that could have
mm-hmm.
made it totally different.
Awesome.
Could have
awesome.
Made it different.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if I got anybody else. BJ, is there anybody else on there? Who want to
yeah.
talk? I'm not quite sure yet. Not that I don't want to talk to you.
No. I'm fine. I just probably want to jump off, because I need to get to bed pretty quick, because I got to take my son early in the morning to daycare.
Okay. Yeah, I just was told by BJ that we had over 210 people listening to the game live, plus there's been 261 listens since then, you know, to that game. And, you know, that's so cool. So,
it is cool, because that's like an average for some of the shows here on Blog Talk Radio, but that is a really great way everybody listens to that show. And people calling in and just listening to it, because there was a couple people that said, I don't have speakers on my computer, but I can't listen to it, but I can listen to it in the chat room. I said, just call in the number and listen to it online.
Right.
That's all they had, and that's what they did. It was awesome. So, good job
yeah,
for Blog Talk Radio and Coach Bartley. I commend him for doing a great job yesterday. A little people gave him a little hell here and there, but still, it worked out very well with listening to the game, and I was happy just to listen to it.
Oh, they were giving him hell in chat rooms?
Yeah, a little bit. They were giving him a little hell.
Okay, I'm glad he wasn't listening then.
Well, a lot of people are thinking that I think he's a really great fan of yours. So I think he was just, you know, he was a little bit more, come on, show girls, you can do this. So, you know, stuff like that. But it was neat, because the way the charisma he had for that game is like, God, I can't believe this game. He's like, it was neat. It was neat to listen to him do the game. It was great.
Well, you know, he said he wasn't coaching this year, so it's probably eating him up. I mean, that was his first game ever seeing us this year. And so, you know, it probably ate him up, the fact that he wasn't down on the sideline and stuff like that, because he's just that type of guy. He's a good guy. He's hated, mm-hmm. but he's a good guy. You know what I'm saying? It's just like me. I'm hated by most, but loved by a lot. And, you know, I just give it to you like I give it to you. And I just tell you how it is. And, you know, there's no arrogance about it. It just is what it is. And I know my football, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know my football. So,
I hear you.
Again, I'm glad you came on, Remy. And like I said, I'll be rooting for one of the teams. I don't know yet. I really want to look at – I would be rooting for the Mustangs just because they beat us. Because I can say, damn, I was 6 inches away from tying the game, a field goal away from – just right from winning it, and I could have won the national championship, God dog it. You know, that's the reason why I root for the Mustangs. But if I do check out the film and see that, you know, that Columbus is a real deal, I'm going to let you guys know next Monday. I will let
Bring
you know
it.
Next
Bring
Monday.
It. Love to hear it. All right, Coach, I'll let you go. I'll talk to you next week, okay, bud?
You got it. All right. That's
later.
My man, Remy. Yeah, all right, later. That's my man, Remy, from the Mustangs. He then moved up to the Ohio area. I'm not going to give his location due to the fact that if the Mustangs beat the Comets, then Remy won't be in jeopardy out there. I know he's in Ohio somewhere in Cincinnati. There we go. See, I'm narrowing it down for him. They're going to come get you, Remy, if the Mustangs win, man. So I don't know what to say for you. But anyway, hey, this is Coach Lee, Four Quarter Coach Lee. I rock it every Monday night, you know, during the season, off season, everything. I will be here because my job is to find solutions to women's football. It is my job to make sure that you know what's going down and what's going on. Like I said, I'm not shaking no tailbone here talking just jibber-jabber. I'm talking about stuff that's going to enhance women's football, take it to the next level, because that's where it needs to be. That's where it needs to go, and it's going to take you, your teammates, your coaching staff, your owners, and your fans to do that. There's a lot of things on the table, and, you know, once the season is over with, I'll be updating with the new teams coming out, new teams going to what leagues, all that other good stuff, because we got to be informed of knowing what's going on. If we don't know, then who else is going to know? And if you don't tell nobody, who else is going to know? So, again, you got to believe the hype. You got to do what you do. You know what I'm saying? I'm totally, and I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Hey, this is how we do it. Just like my song say, you know what? I got so much trouble on my mind. I refuse to lose. That's every team that plays against me. I refuse to lose. But anyway, I'm about to get out of here. I got to close shop. Like I said, I'm in a new location, so I got to do some kind of locking up. But I also have, you know, I'm going to have a show every week. It's pre-record, and I come on in live afterwards, or if it's on live, it's going to happen. But I am out of here. I got to go. Peace.
Made the call, took the fall, broke the laws. Not my fault that they're falling off.